Wednesday's White Sox and Yankees game was postponed. Some eerie pictures coming out of New York. Hopefully the air quality is better on Thursday and the White Sox are prepared for a double dipper in the Bronx. Pedro Grifol talks about the managerial experience so far. And after Tuesday's outing, Lucas Giolito trade rumors continue to pop up.
You are Locked On White Sox, your daily Chicago White Sox podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, Sox fans, welcome back to Locked On White Sox. Thank you for making Locked On White Sox your first listen each and every day. We're free and available on all platforms. Follow us on Twitter at Locked On Sox. Also, subscribe to our YouTube channel. Just search Locked On White Sox. This episode is brought to you by Bird Dogs. Go to birddogs.com/lockedonMLB. And when you enter promo code LOCKEDONMLB, they'll throw in a free custom Bird Dogs Yeti style tumbler with every order. Hey, I'm your host, Nick Murawski, a lifelong diehard Chicago White Sox fan, recording this podcast just blocks from the ballpark in beautiful Bridgeport. You can find me on Twitter at Nick_GGTB. Locked On White Sox is part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Our Chicago White Sox take on the New York Yankees in a doubleheader on Thursday in the Bronx. Catch every pitch of the White Sox hometown broadcast with SiriusXM on the SXM app. Search White Sox. State of the Sox, our Southsiders are still 27-35. Sox still undefeated in June, four straight wins. But the air quality on the East Coast put a temporary pause on their winning ways. Wednesday night's Chicago White Sox game against the New York Yankees was postponed because of clearly hazardous air quality at Yankee Stadium. New York was under a haze because of smoke carried down from wildfires burning in Canada. The New York State Department of Environmental Conservation issued an air quality alert in effect until midnight. As of 4 p.m. Eastern time on Wednesday, the air quality index for Yankee Stadium was 335, which is considered hazardous. The game will hopefully be made up Thursday as a part of a straight doubleheader beginning at 3:05 p.m. Central Time. Major League Baseball also postponed Wednesday night's game in Philadelphia between the Phillies and Detroit Tigers. That game will be made up 5:05 Thursday when both teams were scheduled to be off. This is what MLB had to say. These postponements were determined following conversations throughout the day with medical and weather experts and all of the impacted clubs regarding clearly hazardous air quality conditions in both cities. According to White Sox beat writer for MLB.com, Scott Merkin, Andrew Vaughn, this is what he said on last night's conditions. Of course, Tuesday night, it was smoky out there. You know, I had a cough on Wednesday morning, sore chest, nothing too terrible. Some of those balls that went up and you kind of lost them for a second. It got a little hazy and you kind of lose them in the lights. I'm sure you saw pictures all over social media. You couldn't avoid them, of what people were putting out there at Yankee Stadium, what it looked like in the middle of the day, the orange sky, really eerie, and all over around New York. Crazy stuff. I don't remember a situation like this. I'm trying to think of a game that was canceled because of air quality. I know of like insect infestation. I've heard that one before. Of course, we're familiar with snow and cold weather and all that kind of stuff in April, sometimes even May. But I don't remember the air quality one. So again, White Sox, their winning ways will be put on pause. You know, I enjoyed Lucas Giolito's outing on Tuesday. We're going to talk a little bit more on that because, you know, he could be a coveted arm at the trade deadline, depending on what the White Sox decide to do and how desperate some other teams get, maybe, that think Lucas Giolito might be a missing piece. Again, all offense from Sebi Zavala, which was good to see. Good to have, you know, Sebi have that game and, you know, more confidence behind home plate as well. But you need more consistent offense. Absolutely. You need more consistent offense. It can't be Jake Berger and Sebi Zavala hitting the home runs on this White Sox team. It looked like Yoan Moncada was going to be in the lineup on Wednesday. So, he pulled up lame late in the game on Tuesday on a ground out. Didn't seem like anything major. But, a lot of stuff I've seen over the last 24 hours or so, you know, obviously, sports talk radio and other, blogs and so forth. You know, are the White Sox back? You know, they beat the Yankees. You know, here we go, 4.5 games back in the AL Central. And I want to get excited, but I just can't quite yet. I think it's going to take at least 500, if not over 500. You know, even if the Sox, for some reason, are winning the division in the lead at under 500, I still want to see this team get 500 or over 500. Stay over 500 for a little while. And, of course, June and July will be a test. Speaking of tests, Pedro Grifol has had his hands full in his first managerial experience. Lamont Pope from the Chicago Tribune had an article on Pedro Grifol passing the 60-game mark in his first year as a manager. I managed 4 years of winter ball. It's a tough environment to manage in, Grifol said. I was managing guys who were older than me, and that taught me a ton. Just the day-to-day stuff that you had to take care of and worry about. Every job has been really important for this. You can't question Pedro Grifol's baseball resume except for the lack of managerial experience. I'm enjoying the climb, he said when asked if he's still enjoying the job. Obviously, I did not enjoy all of the 10-game losing streak. I didn't enjoy 7-21. Did not enjoy that, but I'm enjoying getting better and playing better. I'm enjoying getting better all the way around the team, myself, the staff. He talked a lot in this article, which was a good article, about the staff, the people that he has surrounded himself with, which, you know, thinking back in November and through the offseason, I was impressed with the people that he was able to bring along. And if he's comfortable with the people that he has around them and he trusts them, I think that was only going to set him up for success. We've got to get better, Grifol continued. And it's not just to win games. It's to maximize their ability. We have a lot of talent on the offensive side of the ball. And if we swing at good pitches, we're going to do some damage. So we have to be better at not chasing. We're constantly searching for that. They're searching for it. We are too. We are searching for it together. That's something that I talked about in the previous episode. Grifol mentioned on base percentage after the series finale against Detroit, how critical on base percentage is. Sox bottom of the league and on base percentage. They do not take pitches. They do not draw walks. They swing at stuff. Especially Robert. It's like everybody knows what he's going to be swinging at, sliders. And it's not just Robert. It's the entire team that lacks some discipline in terms of getting on base. According to Lamont Pope, Grifol likes how the pitching has progressed. However, there's times we've got to get better when we're way ahead in the count, 0-2, 1-2. You almost can't allow slugging in those counts, Lance Lynn. You fight to get 0-2, 1-2. You've got to put guys away. But we're better at it. The pitching has improved big time. The team had a 5.88 ERA through 28 games. in a 3.80 ERA the next 33 games. Yes, there has been improvement, but I completely agree, and I'm glad Grifol has brought that up. I brought it up here on the podcast. I followed a whole rotation worth of what pitchers did when they were ahead in the count, what they used, where they went. Seems like a lot of elevated stuff has been popular now, but you have to have some wipeout stuff. You can't let something slip in the middle, and that's what happened to Lance Lynn and has happened to several pitchers lately. Lucas Giolito, he impressed on Tuesday, but will he be in a White Sox uniform after August 1st? If Grifol can master the climb and help guide the White Sox out of their ditch, and the White Sox are actually buyers or they stay put, then Gio just can't be moved. But there are no shortage of articles pointing to Giolito being the arm that will be wearing a different uniform after the deadline, after Jacob DeGrom's recent injury. Texas could make an offer that the Sox can't refuse. So will they or won't they? I don't think we'll know what the White Sox will do until around the All-Star break, maybe later, but starting pitching, as always, will be in high demand. More on that in a moment. Today's episode is brought to you by Bird Dogs. Bird Dogs make you look good. Their stretch khaki shorts are designed to fit slimmer through the thigh and leg, giving you a truly sculpted look. Bird Dog shorts do the exact same thing as Lululemon, but fit way better. They fit better than regular shorts that are made of a stiff, restricting cotton. Bird Dogs fix this issue by inventing cloud knit fabric that looks just like khaki, but stretches so you get a slimmer fit without having to sacrifice movement. Bird Dog uses anti-stink sweat wicking fabric that keeps you cool and dry all day long. I can attest to it. They are comfortable shorts. You've got to try them. They're the most comfortable shorts you will own. And this summer, when the weather's getting hot, especially, you want to be something, being something cool and comfortable. So go to birddogs.com/LockedOnMLB and enter promo code LockedOnMLB for a free Yeti style tumbler with your order. That's birddogs.com/LockedOnMLB. The White Sox face off against the Yankees twice on Thursday. Hopefully, catch every pitch of the White Sox hometown broadcast with SiriusXM on the SXM app. Search White Sox. So with a day off, Sox obviously postponed on Wednesday, I kind of went down a rabbit hole in what the Texas Rangers might do after this Jacob DeGrom injury news a couple days ago. Devastating news for them. Rangers have internal options, but they might want more. They also had a top 10 farm system coming into this season. So they have some worthwhile assets. That doesn't always mean there's going to be a deal. But I went over to Sports Illustrated, and they had an article about Rangers just needing pitching by Matthew Postens. And this is what he had to write. CBS Sports recently published a list of 20 players that could be dealt at the deadline. Among the candidates when it comes to starting pitching were White Sox right-hander Lucas Giolito, Cleveland Guardians right-hander Shane Bieber, Detroit Tigers left-hander Eduardo Rodriguez, Sox right-hander Dylan Cease, San Francisco Giants right-hander Alex Cobb, and Sox right-hander Lance Lynn. Interesting there on the Lance Lynn piece. Obviously, Dylan Cease, I think, would be the big chip if they actually want to go that route. I don't think it's going to get there. But Lucas Giolito, if he continues to string together some starts, but if he does that, well, then I would feel like the Sox will be in contention in the AL Central. And that's the whole dynamic we've been talking about. Do you win the Central, just go after it? Or do you say, look, I don't know what's going to happen in the future. I don't think we as a front office, as an organization, are going to sign Lucas Giolito. So let's just face reality and get something, because starting pitching will be in demand for teams that think they're not just going to win a division, but they have serious World Series aspirations. And the Texas Rangers, I think they have something going. This was from FanSided from Josh Wilson. The Chicago White Sox have at least two arms they might be looking to cash in with at the deadline, Dylan Cease and Lucas Giolito. In my opinion, Wilson wrote, either of these players would be stellar adds for Texas and are better than both Stroman and Lorenzen. The White Sox are 22nd in the in all of baseball in runs per game. So the pitching staff has gotten very little support in their starts. They'd be instantly better somewhere like Texas. Giolito gets the slight edge for his veteran experience overseas, but both pitchers are capable. If the Rangers sign Cease, they'll be committed for a few extra years as well. If Texas strictly wants a rental, they should push for Lucas Giolito. And this from out of The Athletic, Nick Grote. In Chicago, Lucas Giolito is pitching his final season before reaching free agency, and the White Sox, like Cleveland, are far from a World Series threat. He is the best, most obvious trade candidate among starting pitchers. So Grote's take on this, and he went through a lot of different pitchers in this article, was if you're not a serious World Series contender, and you're just going to play around with maybe a division title and the AL Central of all divisions, well, maybe you would rather just trade off Lucas Giolito, play for another year or a few more years with whatever you're going to get back from him. I think that was what his take was. From MLB Trade Rumors just a few days ago, with the MLB trade deadline just 2 months away on August 1st, the Chicago White Sox could be ready to sell. And one huge piece that might be on the move is one-time all-star pitcher Lucas Giolito, according to ESPN's Jeff Passan. Executives around the league told Passan that if the White Sox manage to resurrect their season, it's expected that Lucas Giolito will be traded as he's set to become a free agent in the offseason. So even if the White Sox manage to resurrect their season, Passan also listed Lance Lynn and Liam Hendricks as possible trade candidates for Chicago, but noted that the team could also delve into a full rebuild if the season continues going south. He suggested that if the organization wants a great haul back, the White Sox, of course, could move ace pitcher Dylan Cease and star shortstop Tim Anderson, though it's highly unlikely with owner Jerry Reinsdorf. So, a lot of Lucas Giolito conversation nationally around all of baseball. Giolito's stock rose, I thought, on Tuesday. 6 innings, 0 hits, a couple of walks, 100 pitches versus the Yankees in New York. There was no Aaron Judge. Yankees offense this year, middle of the pack in all of baseball, 15th in MLB in offense. But again, no Aaron Judge in the lineup, and that might be for the foreseeable future for the Yankees. My stuff felt really good, said Giolito after improving to 5-4 and lowering his ERA to 3.75. Fastball felt very lively, too many balls. I was getting ahead of a lot of guys, but throwing a lot of balls as they were working 2-2, 3-2 counts. They had a good patient approach. A lot of teams seem to have a good patient approach, except for the White Sox, which I unfortunately kind of played into a little bit. One takeaway from that is to be more efficient, be more in the zone, attack the zone. He was really good, said Sox catcher Sebi Zavala, who supplied all the offense with 2 home runs, executed the game plan really well. He's back to where he was, just got back to what he does. After studying the pregame plan for the Yankees, who are 36-26, Giolito put in his full trust in Zavala. He wanted to get into his mode, not think too much, and let his catcher's expert game calling lead the way. So, with how forgiving this division is, the White Sox may very well hold on to Giolito and Cease and Anderson and Kelly and everybody else just to capture the AL Central title. If the front office knows that they will not re-sign Giolito and the division title doesn't matter much to them, they're not going to come out and say it, and the decision has already been made by the powers that be, then I think you've got to get something for him. And the Texas Rangers do seem like a team that will be making a lot of phone calls to Rick Hahn. Last time we saw Lance Lynn, Ohtani put one on the Dan Ryan, as I mentioned yesterday. I don't know if we're going to see Lance Lynn on Thursday in the doubleheader, as Mike Clevenger has been announced, but there has been no Game 2 announcement as of this recording. More on that in a moment. So Thursday, doubleheader in the Bronx. We hope. I read a couple blurbs that the air quality is expected to be much lower on Thursday, but we'll see. As of this recording, again, according to the White Sox website, Game 1 pitcher will be Clevenger. No word on Game 2 starter. Lance Lynn was supposed to go on Wednesday. Clevenger has a 1-1 record with an ERA of 4.19 and 29 strikeouts and four appearances against the Yankees in his career. Last time Clevenger pitched against the Yankees was way back in 2019. He went five innings in Yankee Stadium, gave up virtually nothing, but that was a long time ago. Clevenger this year, he's 3-3 with an ERA of 4.13, 46 strikeouts in 10 appearances. Now, the last time we saw Clevenger, he pitched against the Detroit Tigers last weekend. That was his first game off of the IL. Pretty impressive. Five innings, would like to go him a little longer. Nobody's going much longer these days, but maybe first time back, they limited him. He went five innings, only three hits given up, one walk, six strikeouts. The velocity was up there, upper 90s. I think I saw 97 miles per hour, and he had that movement. And that's what was pretty impressive with him early this season. He had a lot of movement on his pitches, a lot of movement, dipping in and out of the zone. He was spotting corners very well. We'll see what he has got in store in New York. So, you know, based on what Grifol has been talking about with on-base percentage, you know he's got to be focusing on that, hopefully, with the rest of this coaching staff, hitting coach, assistant hitting coach, Castro and Johnson, get on base. And we need more than just Berger, who was expected to be in the lineup on Wednesday, which was good, I believe, in the DH spot. We need more than Berger and Zavala. I'll take it. You know, if the pitching can quiet the Yankees offense, that's great. But I don't think you can live on that. That's not sustainable. All right. We need more thunder. We need Tim Anderson to get going. We need Mancada to get going. Andrew Vaughn, where are you? Eloy Jimenez, can't have you hitting two double plays. Luis Robert, take command in center field. That's your ball. And we need you to start mashing the ball as well offensively. So, are the Sox back? No, they're not back. Have they been playing better baseball? Is it fun? Sure, it's fun. The winning part is fun. And this division is forgiving. You know, it'll keep the Sox, you know, hanging around, I'm assuming, especially with the way, you know, the Twins and Guardians are going. So they need to get at least 500, if not over, and they need to stay over. That, you know, I can't drink the Kool-Aid. I was at the beginning of the year. You know it. They would get on a little bit of a streak, some momentum, like, okay, here we go. Now they're going to turn the corner. I've seen enough to know that they need to completely climb out of this for me to announce that they are back. And I hope I do get to announce that, but June and July is going to be tough. I just know it is. Folks, thank you so very much for making this podcast part of your daily routine. You can find the Locked On White Sox podcast absolutely everywhere you find your podcasts. We are on Twitter at Locked On Sox. You can find me on Twitter at Nick_GGTB. Hey, don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel and get any questions, comments you might have for a future mailbag episode into LockedOnSox@gmail.com. Our Chicago White Sox take on the Yankees on Thursday, hopefully in New York. Doubleheader, catch every pitch of the White Sox hometown broadcast with SiriusXM on the SXM app. Search White Sox. Thanks for making Locked On White Sox your first listen every day. And hey, everydayers, you know who you are. I appreciate it. On the next episode, I will recap the doubleheader, hopefully be talking about a couple White Sox wins. Appreciate you making time for the Locked On White Sox podcast. I'm Nick Marowski. Until next time, go Sox!